Welcome, everybody, to another episode of, I almost said the Jersey Boys podcast. This is already off to a hot start. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Chop Sports Daily, coming to you live from the Flipping Made Easy studio here in beautiful Matawan, New Jersey. It is Sturch. It is Gooch. It is a special, special day because it is indeed Thanksgiving Eve, so we're all ready to rage here because we're all 21 again. It is Friendsgiving here at the studio. We got ourselves a very special guest, friend of the show, partner of the show, all that good stuff. Kyle Kerms, the sauce himself, is in the house. And of course, the Pickbish Dina off to the side here. And of course, dude, I don't know who's going to watch the show because we got Scoop in the house too. He's, quote, working from home from the studio here. So we got a full house, bro.
Scoop, if you want to comment on anything, you're not allowed to speak because you don't have a mic. Just type it.
So yeah, type it anyway.
As normal because, as possible. Yeah. Right? I don't know how I'll react if Scoop's not in there.
Yo, how do I share the link? Can you figure that out, Dina? Send me the link. Yeah, but we're live, so
we are live. It's okay. It just we're good. Share it all to your degenerates out there. And if anybody doesn't know who Kyle is, get to know him real quick. KyleKerms.com. He is the resident handicapper here at Chop Sports because that's who we use. Don't worry though, folks. I will say this and I'll preface this over and over again. He is not affiliated with any sports book, so none, zero, zilch,
none.
But if you want to make a bet, there is BetMGM. Use that. Go over to www.chopsportsmedia.com. Before we get started, I do want to bring up one more time to help out my friend Lindsay Sally doing an awesome, awesome thing for the holidays, 2021 Family Gift Assistance Project. Basically, what this is you're adopting a family. You're giving them the gifts that they want and ask for. Because obviously they need it. And, you know, it's the time and season of giving and all that good stuff. So go do that. Go make sure you help those guys out. So I will ask you first, guest Kyle, how are we today? I mean, how did we do last night? Did
last
we clean
night wasn't
up?
Good.
Was not good.
No, last night was
great.
Not
great. Great day to have him on, to be honest.
Yeah. we won some money in college football. I actually had a good day in the MAC, which has been rare this year. The MAC's been killing me. But NBA, like I said when I got here, Julius Randle misses a free throw. About 20 seconds left. We missed the cover by a half point. Also, the Clippers blew a lead. Mavericks ended up beating them in overtime without Luka Doncic. That one screwed me.
wait. So did Luka get hurt?
Yeah, he sprained his ankle.
All right. I missed that. I was actually kind of tracking that game as
you
I
know,
was
not for nothing. I do apologize for you losing money on the Knicks, but the Knicks still won the game, and they took down the LeBron-less Lakers last night from the Garden. The energy was high, and you know, there was no fighting. LeBron couldn't run away from anybody, so we won a game, and it's a big game. Whenever you beat the Lakers on a national level, because it was on TNT, so I was very upset I didn't get Mike Breen. So that was right off the rip. I was like, oh, this sucks.
Didn't they blow like a 58-point lead, though?
Scoop, like, how big was the lead? 20-something? 25-point lead, and they made us sweat it out. And, yeah, I was sweating it to the very end. I will say this. He quickly is starting to really turn into John Starks. To me, where if he's on, it's like he can't miss. But when he's off, he looks like Starks in Game 7. And it like really, really upsets me to watch this kid play. But look, a win is a win, man. And I know this hurts you, Gooch, because you're a LeBron / Lakers / I know, you don't give
a
shit.
There is no such thing as an NBA game, unless I have money on it, that hurts me when the team loses. I just don't care to that level.
Okay.
Period.
All right. Well, that makes you better than everybody else.
Also, I'm a big, huge Golden State Warriors fan all of a sudden, so I don't know what you're talking about
you're
with this
all
Lakers
for,
talk. I'm trying to decide between Golden State and Phoenix right now on which team I like better.
Our boy, what's his name? Ayton, playing out of his mind, bro. And like, not for nothing. He didn't sign the extension, so now he's going to get his bag after this year.
A little bit of regret on the side of the Suns because they didn't actually extend him yet, and now it's probably going to – I don't know if he's even going to stay at this point now.
I don't really like Ayton. I think he's overrated personally. But, I mean, Suns were on that winning streak while he was missing games. And also, if you notice, people are comparing his numbers to the biggest centers in the league, and they'll be like, look, his numbers compared to, like, Joel Embiid. Yo, watch those games. Joel Embiid is getting double-teamed 20 feet from the basket. Yeah. On the Suns, I mean –
Ayton with the pick and roll.
Yeah, it's the pick and roll. DeAndre Ayton gets looks one-on-one 8 feet from the basket.
That's why he's shooting like 98%
exactly
from the field for his entire career. But I still believe because a guy like that who maybe without a Chris Paul you see him struggle a little bit more, but at the same time, he looks like he's 33 and he's 23, so guys like that scare me long-term.
Ayton?
Yeah.
You know who reminds me of? Who's the guy?
Greg Oden.
Oden, Blazers, right? Looked like he was 46 when he got drafted.
But like
and
much,
I think he was 40 when he got drafted.
A much more athletic version of Greg Oden, but at the same time, Ayton someone's going to pay him. And I don't know what his stipulations are after the rookie contract. Obviously, they didn't give him the fifth year. Is that how it works?
Mm-hmm. Scoop, usually, maybe, yeah.
Yeah, like usually you get re-up before you're going into your final year of your contract, which they didn't do. So we'll see.
He's playing for now. He's kind of screwed. But just so you know, man, dude, Kyle, you have a cult-like following, bro. They are chiming in over here, just singing your praises. You got all sorts of people looking nice and plump. Says it's Woods. Must be one of your guys, one of your subscribers.
Probably, yeah.
But yeah, we're all looking plump here. It is the holidays, so we're all out to add.
I told you, bro, I was trying to get the tweet.
Bro, yesterday was the first day that I was called skinny in over 2 months by you, and now you're saying we're all looking plump. What the fuck is going on?
No. I didn't say all. What, did I say all? Yeah. I said all. Yeah. Well, listen. I know I am, and I know Kyle. We can all. And well, Scoop looks like he's just a hot dog or sausage just leaking sweat over there. But Kyle has. Scoop, how's it going over there, man? Lots of collisions going on. And, by the way, straight up, thank you to Scoop on this one, holding it up to the camera. Gooch, do you have yours over there? We have now official shot glasses. They're not Chop Sports shot glasses. They're Dallas Cowboys shot glasses.
My weed scraps in that.
Definitely going to need some shots probably during Thanksgiving Day game. We will pick those games, ladies and gentlemen. That's why we have the sauce here. Yes. He won't give them all out. He'll give out what he wants to give out because, look, he's got a business, ladies and gentlemen, and if you go to KyleKerms.com, you can find out all the VIPs and parlays and this, that, and the third. Where's the prop beaver tonight?
Oh, I have no idea.
Is he sleeping?
I don't talk to the prop beaver before noon.
Really?
I don't speak to him in the morning.
So I was just told by Nick Schein.
Man, he must really hate us when we have him here at 10
o'clock. Look like Tom Hanks at the end of Philadelphia, and I would imagine that him taking a dig at me because I did not retract my fuck you statement to him yesterday, which honestly, you guys could vouch for me. I did say we have to come up with a nice way for me to kind of retract my fuck you, but because he just said that, there's no retraction coming. And because you actually fucking made me retract it, I had to spend 10 minutes pre-episode trying to find the conversation that we even had where I said fuck you. So
I can't
Nick,
believe you're like, first of all, like, wait, time out. Like, why are we apologizing to anybody? Like, I love Nick.
I said, Nick, go fuck yourself on the podcast yesterday. Oh. And he texted me. He said, why'd you say that? I said, because you just repeated what I said. And without getting into it, he wanted me to retract my statement.
Wow.
He didn't do it in time. And now I look like a sickly version of Tom Hanks.
You know, once upon a time, this might have been the first conversation me and Nick Schein had was like, we're looking for apologies. I think it was the Super Bowl box pool. Yeah. Right? That was, oh, wow. Once upon a time, me and Nick have come so far, man. He's one of my favorite people now to follow, to look at his social medias because all of his stuff is really good. But hey, listen, he's dropped all this weight too. We're all plump. He looks great. And that's why we like to look at him. So let's get into first and foremost. I need you to clarify, yesterday we were having a conversation about the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Right? And it did get some traction. I did tag Barry Bonds. He responded, thank you. No, I'm kidding. He did not respond to anything, but it would have been cool. But there is criteria that we missed, or at least didn't miss. It didn't really inform anybody.
Well, it wasn't that. I literally admitted that I don't know how long you stay on the ballot for. And I actually did say Hawaii Mike was going to be the one to reach out to me. And of course, Hawaii Mike was the one to reach out to me.
Dude.
So yeah, you get on the ballot after 5 years. Mm-hmm. If you don't make at least 5% of the vote in any given season, you're automatically off the ballot and you remain on the ballot for 10 years. That's it. So if you
10
remain,
years.
10 years and you're off. So
Bonds has been on for 10 years?
Yeah, bro.
It's been that long since we started this debate.
We are fucking old, bro.
Dude, yeah, Barry Bonds for yourself, has been around for a long time. I'm still spry. I got a football game to prepare for tomorrow, baby. I'm ready to rock, dude. I think
you're
Nick Schein's
in trouble.
I'm in trouble. We played softball. Why are we in trouble?
Football and softball, Dave. That's a very, very.
It's
different
just running.
Thing.
No. I mean, it's not tackle. I'm not playing tackle football with a bunch of adults.
Football, like, you run on almost every single play. In softball, you sit there behind home plate, and when the ball comes to you,
I remember last
you
year,
catch
man.
It and throw. You hit the ball and you run to first base, and then you're in the dugout. That's softball. Football is a very different.
I'm gonna play
thing.
Some D-line.
Slow pitch softball, I wouldn't even consider like an actual sport. It's more of like a recreational activity.
Yeah.
I love slow pitch softball.
That wasn't a dig at it. I'm just saying I can.
But
do
I agree.
It.
You see a lot of guys that don't really have the athletic look playing slow pitch softball.
Oh, you football, guys are really digging at me.
Football
man.
Is a different breed.
I feel attacked right
and
now.
Honestly, if I went and played in your Delta Variant Turkey Bowl, which I feel like they stole that name from my fantasy football team, Delta Variant.
Yeah. I doubt that. I mean,
but I would dominate.
Your
that
fantasy
game.
Name goes beyond, like. He's literally, his name is, I'll say it on the air, because now you can all just go hate on Scoop and drop a line on his Facebook or Twitter or whatever. His fantasy football name is literally, is McNair? Yeah. McNair's Shotgun Offense.
The guy killed himself with a shotgun, and this guy makes it his fantasy football team name? You're too going soon. To hell, brother. You're going
like,
to hell.
I feel like, if it, I feel like if it was, it, I don't think it is too soon. I feel like it's right on line with when you could start using it. If it, it's not like a year Dude. After the fact. It's been a while.
God, man.
Pay homage to Steve McNair one way or another.
Jesus Christ. That's not paying homage. That's not paying homage. I'm sorry. Anyway, I'm glad you cleared up the Hall of Fame stuff because people were asking, and we wanted to make sure we cleared that up. But anyway, there are other things. Let's see. We got Nick Schein coming in. Good to look at. If I'm going to be objectified as a sex object, just know I'm okay with it. I love Nick Schein. Anyway, we got to get into a couple topics today. Obviously, it's a football Wednesday, technically. There's a lot of stuff going on tomorrow. But the first conversation I want to have is something that we really haven't touched on much. And I know that Kyle is knee deep in all of this stuff because, look, I mean, that's literally his livelihood. He dives into college football more than I do. I definitely should more, but I don't because I don't know. I just don't. I mean, the NFL to me, I mean, me and you.
The extent of my college football knowledge is what I find out on the YouTube videos from The Sauce. That's literally it. And then I bet based off of that. And honestly, you know who I think is a good guy to follow? The Toast. The Toast got some knowledge on college football.
Yeah, when he's so shit. He's another one shot, bro.
Well, he's like, crazy.
No, I mean, it's in the Alaskan water is what
I love the sports fan that is obsessed with going to watch two random college basketball teams play. How do you fucking replace? Like, that to me is so. Is like, it's a romantic thing. He could go sit and watch Creighton play against fucking DePaul, right? And be like, I've been waiting all day for this. 4 hours till tip-off.
And like sitting there like, I've been waiting all day for Tuesday night. So, dude, that's too funny. I want to bring up this question because I know that there's a guy who typically watches later on, but he does watch. My boy, Pat Kenny, right? Simon Diamond of ECW fame, former professional wrestler, still works for NWA, right? I got to ask you, Kyle, and maybe Gooch will chime in as well. To you, I mean, I know you gamble on everything, literally. You're probably gambling on, like, you know, what was that? Bags, whatever. What's it called?
Cornhole.
No, during the pandemic.
I've never gambled on cornhole.
Never, okay.
I'm actually not crazy like that. I pretty much only gamble on
the shit you know.
The shit I know.
So it's not gambling, it's now betting. There's a difference. Gambling is when you just flip a coin.
I mean, I do gamble sometimes, too, though. Like, if I'm throwing down a parlay that I know I shouldn't be throwing down, that's gambling. That's there's no more handicapping or hustling. Yeah. That's just gambling. It's smart. It's bad math.
Speaking of the prop beaver, he's chiming in here. Guy in the middle looks like he thinks Washington football team is elite.
Oh, my God.
You and your 12-win predictions, you absolutely. Silly gooses.
And then he tried to come at me for the Colts like 2 weeks ago.
And the Colts are definitely
the Colts are balling right now.
And last night, he tried to like, we were working last night, and he was like, you know what, the Colts, I think they really could win that division. They're like, no. Don't you know. You stay. You stay on the other side. You're not allowed back.
So this is the question I wanted to ask you in specific. College or pros? What do you prefer? Not to bet, to watch. Entertainment value.
Entertainment value. Okay, so Sunday on football Sunday.
Because Pat Kenny swears to God that college football is leaps and bounds better than the NFL. And I'm just like, I'm not on that realm. I want to know Kyle's take.
Okay, so entertainment value on Sunday, a few of my friends come over. So it tends to be a more fun day because there's a group of us. But just the entertainment on TV, I would probably slightly lean Saturday because there's just more. I mean, the game started at 12. Then you got games going all day. And then you have games, you have three or four games starting at 10:30 p.m.
From a better standpoint, it has to be
it's college like you, football. It's four times the action. But, like, NFL Sunday is, like, I have friends that I only see on NFL Sundays. And then I won't even see them in the offseason until week one starts again. Right. And we have a lot of fun. So, entertainment-wise, I tend to have more fun on Sundays. But betting and actual sports-wise, also on Saturdays, there's never enough TVs. You got UFC, there's usually a boxing card on. Depending on the time of year, there's college basketball, NBA. They've been having 7-8-game NBA slates on Saturday, too. Like, so I don't have enough TVs.
Take the day out of it. If you are at Michigan State, Michigan versus Ohio State, or are you going to watch the Cowboys and whoever?
Cowboys.
So NFL. It's or not even just your favorite team. If it's the Packers in Minnesota.
Oh, the actual just one game versus one game NFL, no question.
See, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think
that
it's close.
You already know my answer to this, yeah, so there's reason for me to chime in.
For those
in.
People
there
that go out there.
Nothing like an NFL Sunday.
Right. I mean, for the people that are out there that are like college is such a better sport and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, College basketball might be better in March.
If I was an Alabama fan or a Georgia fan this year, then I would maybe have a say for college football.
Like Pat's a Notre Dame guy, so like he thinks Notre Dame football is just God.
This is a perfect example. When I first got here, Chris was saying how the 1 p.m. slate of NFL Sundays is great, and it is. It's like seven games on. To try to give you what the feeling would be on college football, there's like five consecutive 1 p.m. slates. It's 12, yeah. 3:30, 7, 10:30. Like, it's that exact five or six games starting every 3 hours.
We're all just dropping thousands when of it dollars
comes,
on Hawaii.
When it comes, from the, when it comes to a gambling standpoint for me, though, I feel like everything moves too fast on Saturdays. College football, I don't even know. I don't know enough
I just think
for me to kind of hone in on it.
It's the talent level. That's for me. Like, you watch college football, and sometimes there's games that are 75-0. That's not watchable to me. You know, when like the NFL games, there's a couple blowouts here and there. It's watchable if
you
laid 56
and you need the 75 or if you have a high over-under.
This year has been good for that because there hasn't been many crazy blowouts, at least not as usually. But also, the games that I bet and the games that make my – make the top six as far as my screens. I usually won't bet a game with a 14 or more point spread, so they wouldn't even
Which are there's a lot of those.
Yeah, but there's also enough where you could still watch 35, 40 football games without one of the blowout games.
Crazy, 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 crazy. I just need to know that. But speaking of college football, we got to get into what's obviously prominent right now, and that's where we stand. Right now, going into Thanksgiving weekend, which, again, there's a lot of college football to be played, and actually there's two games tomorrow that Kyle's going to give you here on the podcast.
One. He's going to give us one.
I'll go both.
Okay, right. Both. Why not? But the standings right now, Georgia, Ohio State, Alabama, Cincinnati. Do you guys think it stands this way going forward? Like, these are the four teams that are going to be representing.
Yes, I just don't think it's going to be in this order.
You think these are the four teams, though?
There's no chance Alabama gets in with two losses.
I feel like that's...
And what's their schedule like going forward?
They're going to have to play Georgia in the SEC
championship. So Kyle, can I present a scenario in which Alabama does make it with two losses?
Let's hear it.
Let's just say Cincinnati loses to Houston.
Won't happen, but okay.
But if that does happen, is that not a scenario where it can happen?
If Cincinnati loses, then whoever... it depends on what happens in the Big Ten and Big 12.
So if Ohio State beats Michigan, right? So that bounces them out.
Well, then Ohio State would still have to play Wisconsin in the Big Ten.
So I think it comes down to Notre Dame against Notre Dame or Alabama as the four seed. I find it going to be hard for them to give Alabama the four if they lose to Georgia the week before.
So you're saying
that.
No ACC team, which is probably fair, but there is going to be an ACC champion.
It's. I'm just saying it's. I find it hard pressed to believe any team with two losses gets into a Final Four type scenario.
So when
scenario.
You say no ACC team, also would you Oregon, consider would you win, consider Notre Dame the ACC team here?
No,
aren't they still independent?
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. So as it stands right now, there is Cincinnati.
It was Wake Forest, but they just lost, and if they had won, they would have been the ACC champs with only one loss, which would have been tough to argue against. Also, I don't think the committee would ever put a team with such a trash defense in the playoffs, though. But. Honestly, they need to do it, and I don't want to get into the conversation of what they should do because I hate that. But it should just be whoever wins the conferences gets in. And like,
how many conferences are there?
There's the Power Five, but also the ACC.
Then you need a sixth. You need an independent.
AAC, the AAC kind of is the sixth, but they're merging with the Big 12. Kind of all the good teams are going to the Big 12, and then Oklahoma, Texas are joining the SEC. So it's going to remain the Power Five. But
maybe the best of the five get a bye. And then the other four battle it out. I mean, that makes more logical sense, right?
I was thinking that if they were going to ever do anything, I like the format that the NFL playoffs has. Now, I'm not particularly a fan of the seventh team in each conference getting in, but I do like that, and I did incorporate that into my fantasy football playoffs this year where the one seed gets a bye, and then the rest of the teams, the worst remaining seed plays the one seed, and then you just move forward. So seven playoff teams.
But my league is obviously highly coveted around these parts and chop sports.
In your scenario, were you including Oklahoma State or Oklahoma, which is one of the two, whoever wins?
No, honestly.
Oh, well, they need to be in there.
So there's about six or seven teams that have a legitimate shot. Oklahoma. Michigan is done when they lose to Ohio State. I think we're all in agreement that Michigan's going to lose that. Notre Dame has the best chance because Stanford's a tough game, but not really.
Whoever wins the Big 12, Oklahoma State versus Oklahoma, will have one loss. They will get in before Notre Dame. Definitely.
Interesting.
And
interesting.
Alabama with a two-loss Alabama team. I don't care that they're technically ranked. So you did you actually come through or follow through on your bet that you made?
Yeah, I have $1,000 on Alabama not to make the playoffs.
Wow. What was the odds
there? +140.
Okay.
And the whole idea is the only way they make the playoffs is if they beat Georgia in the SEC championship. So when it comes to that game, I will bet $1,000 on Alabama money line, and get about plus 150.
It's one of these rare rare instances where you could actually take advantage of the book, but you have to, it has to be a long play and you have to notice it ahead of time.
Yeah.
Okay. That's interesting. Interesting. You can find out all this stuff on KyleKerms.com.
Also, Alabama still has to travel to Auburn, where I believe, and I don't have it in front of me, I believe it's been several years since they've won in Auburn, if I remember correctly.
All right. Interesting. But there are two games to be played tomorrow, right?
Oh, yes.
And make sure you have the mic in front of your face, just because you keep bobbing and weaving like a boxer right now.
It's all good. I know. So the first
game. Oh, sorry. You want to stand over here? We got one. We got the green screen. I'm good.
I like sitting. So the first game is San Jose State, Fresno. And I wish that this was on a normal short week, man, because I'd be all over San Jose State. They run the ball well. And I always like, on those short weeks, on those Thursday games, I love taking the run team over the passing team, especially in the first half, because I feel like a passing with only 3 days rest, passing attack may take a little bit to develop, I guess, is how I would describe it. Mm-hmm. But neither of these teams played last weekend. They're both going to be well-rested. So I'm just going to stick with San Jose State in the first half, plus four and a half. You could probably get it. Not a heavy bet. Half unit, maybe.
There's the whole half unit thing again, and I'm just trying to figure it out. Like, what is that?
A unit is for you to determine on your own bankroll. So a unit could be $1 if you don't like to bet a lot of money, or it could be $100.
Okay.
Depending on what you're comfortable
with. I'm just trying to dig at him, just trying to figure out how much money are we talking about?
I'm going to be honest. My units are $50. I don't bet crazy.
Okay.
I there's maybe one or two times this entire season where I went to a two-unit bet.
Okay.
It was both on the Packers, and I hit both of them, so I'm happy about that. But, it's just very rare that I'll go higher than that, and a unit is whatever you deem it to be.
And then the better game of the two, obviously, right?
This one, I can't believe.
Mississippi State,
if you've been following
Ole Miss.
Yeah, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, and anyone who's been following me, we have cashed on Ole Miss so many times this year. I think I've had them as the bet of the day on two different Saturdays, both hit, and I'm fading them here. Will Rogers is
Hail getting.
State. Yep. The Bulldogs. Will Rogers is getting better. Did you look at this game against Auburn right here? They go into Auburn and win 43-34, and they came back from behind to win that. Will Rogers, I don't have the exact stats, 44-55, 415 yards and six touchdowns on the Auburn defense in Auburn. This kid is getting better as the season, and I thought he was going to have a great year. He's way better than I thought he'd be, and as good as Matt Corral is, the Rebel defense sucks, man, and I bet on Ole Miss a lot, and that defense has bit me in the ass a couple times. I'm taking the Bulldogs at home, and the line's moving. It was at one. It was up to 1.5. I don't know, depending on your book, you might be able to still get one. Money is about even, but I'm on the Bulldogs all the way.
I like that because he said that he's bet on Ole Miss a lot, so he has a good pulse on it. This is one where I hear the sauce say certain things, and I'm like, you know what? He knows what he's talking about with the games that he's playing week in, week out. So I'll
you know why I would take
Ole Miss? I'm definitely going to put half. Are we going with half unit or full unit on
that?
This
might be
one.
A 0.75 full game, 0.75 first half. I love that game.
I mean, the only reason why I would take Mississippi State is because that's where Dak Prescott played college football. So that's where I would go. I'm not a gambler, but that's exactly where I would go. And that's my reason behind it. So again, KyleKerms.com for his full slate, or however many picks you'd make for Saturday slates. He does a lot of that. He does a lot of the NBA. And, of course, we'll get into the NFL. But first, we got to pay some bills over here. So let's take a break. And when we come back, we got three football games, including my beloved Dallas Cowboys, are featured on Thanksgiving. One of the Thanksgiving Day games should have been flexed to Sunday. And we're talking about the Bears and the Lions. We'll talk about that when we get back right after this.
Hey, Chop Sports family, it's Jimmy Palumbo here. I am doing a stand-up show on November 27th, Saturday of Thanksgiving weekend at 7:30 p.m. at the Carteret Performing Arts and Event Center with great comedian Mike Marino. Phone number 877-849-2722 for tickets. Again, 877-849-2722, November 27th, 7:30. Jimmy Palumbo and Mike Marino live from Carteret, Central New Jersey's in the house.
What's going on, guys? This is Sturch, and I got a question for you. Have you ever dreamt about flipping a house or buying an investment property? I know I have. There's a reason why house flipping is out of reach for most people, and that's because of a lack of information. Flipping Made Easy is for people like you who feel drawn to the world of house flipping, but they don't have a clue as to where to start. Check out FlippingMadeEasy.com. Here, you'll find comprehensive and easy to understand information about every stage of the house flipping process. You'll receive access to millions of houses ripe with flipping potential. Hundreds of expert guidance explained through research articles and easy to understand video content. And thousands of vendors for all of your house flipping needs. Subscribe to FlippingMadeEasy.com and become part of the flipping community. Right now, if you use the promo code CHOP, you'll receive a free t-shirt and a 30-day, that's right, 30-day money-back guarantee. That's FlippingMadeEasy.com.
I love it. I love it. AJ chiming in from abroad. Is he actually at your place right now? Does he have like a residency over there?
No, he doesn't come over until like 4. We work nights.
Oh, okay. Work nights. All right. Night shift. I like it. I like it. All right. So listen. There is NFL action going down tomorrow. Obviously, me and Gooch will be working remote on Friday for the full NFL picks. I did gain a game on Gooch yesterday against the spread. I am now only about 10 under 500. So I'm making my way. So you can go to DaveSturcio.com for all your half-ass gambling needs, which doesn't exist. So don't try to do that. It might be a different website. Who knows? I actually don't want to say what it might be. Domain has been taken by Scoop Espo, who comes over here and is just dominating. Ooh. You can find Scoop Espo tonight recording his cross-court cast, which drops. Scoop, I was going to ask you, do you want that to drop on Thanksgiving? Or do you want that to drop on Friday? Okay, he doesn't care, so I'll just have it drop tomorrow. Of course, his podcast drops tomorrow, along with Till Mets Do Us Part. They'll be back in here. For the first time, we're actually going to have two simultaneous podcasts recording at once. That's why we have the extra space. Speaking of extra space, what you have here in studio is the Pick Bish Dina and, of course, Kyle Kerms. They will be occupying the new office at the end of the hall. By the way, dude, you weren't here yesterday. Or no, actually, I think you were recording Packers Pulse. We saw the photographer who I've been friendly with, nice guy. I've seen the Skeetovich a couple times, but I have not said anything to her, right? Yesterday, I seen photographer. He goes, Dave, what's up? I said, hey, bro, what's up? And like she's behind him, and I still haven't said anything to her, right? So I go back into the office, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, all right, it's time to edit one of the podcasts. And she's got a box in her hand. She looked at me, bro. And when I tell you, right on camera, I'll give you the look she gave me. She has a box here, and she goes. I was like, is there a problem? She just walked away. I was like, whoo, baby, it's just getting heated. So, Dina, you can't move in soon enough. Like, it has to happen, like, right, like, yesterday.
Fuck her.
I felt like she just, like, Medusa.
Bro, I'm the most passive individual you will ever come across in your entire life. In certain situations, specifically this type of situation, where we have to keep the peace. But look, it's getting to the point where I'm ready to fucking go off.
Can we office space her printer, like, outside in the parking lot?
I'm just going to slap Chop Sports stickers all over every single piece of furniture that's hers out there. So, like, one piece.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you got to, like, wave some kind of, like, dream catcher
or
something.
What is it about these holistic people that think that the world owes them something? And maybe I'm being general here.
Yeah, that was kind of general.
But, no, I know a couple. I know a couple people where it's, like, they preach, like, oh, witchcraft essentially is what I'm going to call it, where they're like cupping and vibes and this and that, but like none of these people give off good vibes to me.
Every time I see somebody waiting, it's almost as if they're ready to go to war. Like they're just like scared and timid. They're like, hello,
are you making reference to what's going on in Eastern Europe right now? I feel like Russia's war going on in Eastern Europe right now. Yeah, Russia's like lined up on the border of Ukraine.
This guy, you know why I don't watch the news? Because I got plenty other shit to watch other than the news, and it's never good. So the news does make me sad, too. I'm with Dina on that one. All right, so we got some NFL. All right, we'll start with the game of the week, and that is the Chicago Bears taking on the Detroit Lions. The line right now is -3 where we get our lines, so that's where Kyle's going to get his for at least, you know what, you can make your pick based on wherever you get your lines. You know what I'm saying? So if you disagree with the line right now because you have it somewhere else, say that. That's fine. Yep. But we do have a banger of a game to go over, and I'm talking about Andy, the Red Rifle, sometimes the Red Rocket, Dalton, starting against either Jared Goff or, what's his name,
Tim Boyle, ex-Packer, baby.
He's on the Packers squad. Okay.
He's an ex-Packer.
Okay.
Well, put some respect on his name.
All right, so obviously they're going to win because of that fact.
In any event, are we ready to move on from the Detroit Lions on Thanksgiving? That's what I want to know. I understand it's tradition, and I get it, but like they have not been relevant or competitive in a very, very long time. And when I say very long time, maybe not since like Megatron.
I honestly,
but even then, they had shit teams.
I find it perfect because I don't really want to care about the game that's going on Thanksgiving. There's too many other things happening. It's not like a traditional Sunday where you could sit down and watch the game. You have a lot happening. My mother's like, I want to watch Santa on the parade. I'm like, no, it's the fucking second quarter. We're good. So Thanksgiving, the March of the Wooden Soldiers is interfering with opening kickoff. I'm not a fan of good games on Thanksgiving. That's why the Cowboys and the Lions are perfect.
Oh, you hear that, Dig? You feel that? I was going to say, yeah, we'll talk about that game in a second. But the Lions are coming in 0-9-1. For a while, they're the only unbeaten team in November. But, of course, that you know, kind of shit the bed last week. And the Bears, obviously, Justin Fields does not get to perform on his first Thanksgiving Day member of the Bears. There was no firing yesterday. So Jay Silverberg, who came in and chimed and said, Nagy's gone. That's not a thing. Nagy was asked. He said that conversation never even happened. So I don't know if he's keeping it close to the vest or it's really not happening.
Well, when they lose yet, to Detroit outright this week and Black Friday rolls around, you're going to see Matt Nagy on the chopping block. That's my prediction. When you lose to Detroit, which I think there's a legitimate chance that happens in this game with Andy Dalton at quarterback, it's going to be tough.
Hawaii Mike chime in. Detroit fans have literally nothing else, nothing, and we want to take this from them. So I think, isn't Hawaii Mike a Lions fan? Then again, I have no idea with him.
He's got ties to the state of Michigan. He's a big Michigan fan, which is why he blows Tom Brady all the time when we talk shit about him. But I think that the way that the Lions have gone about running their organization, he has since kind of left the actual fanhood and more. He's more
moved
of a,
to Hawaii.
He's more of a guy that bashes the Lions because he understands wholeheartedly what they've done to talent in Detroit. So
yeah, and some of that talent has moved on.
He would be a Detroit fan if they were fucking credible or they had any type of ability to keep a good team on the field.
But they don't. Kyle, where do you find this one going? I know it's one of those games where everybody's like, bet the under because right now, but that's a low under too. Even for an NFL game, that's
it's extremely low.
I don't think I've ever seen one that low, to be completely honest with you.
So actually this one I'm going to put up on YouTube, but there's a couple things I wanted to talk about, just quick points on the game. So did everyone see Andy Dalton's stat line in that game last week?
He's a stud.
He took over halfway through the third quarter, had 201 yards passing and two touchdowns. So this was AJ last night trying to convince me, like, oh, look at these stats. The thing is, one was like a 65-yard screen to Mooney, who took it himself to the house, and the other was a deep ball. So what I'm saying is, I don't know if this offense is better with Andy Dalton. I'm not listening to anyone say that.
You know what? There was a time, not even kidding you, and you probably heard this too through the whispers, when Dak Prescott went down last year, there were a couple analysts who will be remain nameless who said that the Cowboys offense might function better with Andy Dalton at quarterback. And I said, how are you getting a paycheck to do what you do?
For real.
I don't understand.
I thought Andy Dalton would actually do well with the Cowboys. Not better, but that was crazy.
He beat the Vikings. Everybody seems to beat the Vikings except for Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, but I digress. Finally.
Yeah, we don't beat them. We're like 31-6 in my
lifetime.
Didn't
I tell you to fade the Packers in that game?
Yeah, you told me to fade the Packers in that game.
He did, and if you wanted to win money, don't bet with your heart,
Well,
Coach.
I didn't bet on the Packers this week.
I never bet on a Cowboys game, ever. Not
and
once.
I will add that I've bet the Packers 8 times this year, and they've won all 8.
Because they're like 9-0 against the spread, aren't they not? Well, or 9-1 now, right?
9-2.
9-2 against the spread. Anyway.
Oh, well, one more point I wanted to make about the game is...
Do it.
Because obviously the story with the Bears defense, everyone's talking about Khalil Mack out for the year. Akeem Hicks has missed 4, maybe even 5 games. I think 4. Despite all that, the Bears are still tied for the lead league in sacks. Robert Quinn is 5th in the league in sacks.
My guy, Robert Quinn.
He's having the best year of his career.
How Dallas let him just walk out the door was like beyond me, man.
Up until this point, his best year of his career was on Dallas. No, he's blowing that year out of the water. Whoa.
You all right there, bro?
I need some nicotine gum. So he's blowing that year out of the water. And so this Bears team gets to the quarterback. Having said that, the rest of their defensive analytics are weak.
So you'll be dropping a YouTube video on this pick.
Yeah, tonight.
So don't give it away. All right, it's fine. But me and Gooch have to make the pick towards our standings. Gooch, where are you going with this? The Bears favorite on the road, -3 in Detroit. How do you feel?
This is one of these rare cases where I actually get to pick Detroit. I don't think I might have picked them once all year, but it's fuck Chicago all day over here. This game is a complete toss-up to me because both teams are in peril. And Detroit, as crazy as it sounds, is they're actually playing better to me because they're supposed to get dusted every game. For some reason, the Bears still get some type of credit when it comes to the point spreads. Detroit, though, look at them. 6-4 against the point spread this year. Bears are still 5-5. But that they have some fight in them. I'm not a big believer in their head coach as a whole going forward. But in a game-to-game situation, I like Dan Campbell over Matt Nagy, and I'll take the ex-Packer over the ex-Cowboy all day, every day, and twice on this
Thursday. Did you
really
just refer to Andy Dalton as an ex-Cowboy?
Yeah, and Tim Boyle as an ex-Packer. Yeah.
I mean, Dalton was there for a legitimate five-hour energy, not even a cup of coffee, just a shot. Like that. Oh, my God. Anyway, I, my friend, am going the other way. I believe in big Andy Dalton energy this weekend, or at least this Thanksgiving. I think he delivers when he's on the big stage, baby. Let me tell you something. Andy Dalton could sling it still, and they got some receivers over there. I'm a big Mooney guy. I think Montgomery gets going in this game. I think the Bears' defense, as Kyle just alluded to, playing very well. I don't care if it's friggin' Jared Goff. I don't care if it's Nick Boyle, Dave Boyle, Don Boyle. Doesn't matter.
Tim Boyle.
Right, like it matters. The Bears are going to win this game and win it outright. Cover that number and all.
65% of the money is on Detroit, so in case people were wondering.
I'm picking the Detroit Lions. I'm sticking with the Bears.
I'll bet the money line in this one.
All right, go for it. Lovely. All right, a game that is near and dear to my heart, obviously, for so many reasons. It is a Thanksgiving tradition. The Dallas Cowboys are playing a football game. They are hosting the Las Vegas Raiders, the Pick Bishes. Las Vegas Raiders. The Raiders now are 5-5. They once upon a time they were 5-2.
No, they were 5-3.
No, they were 5-2 because they've lost three straight.
Were they?
Yep. So here we are. Somehow, some way, they're 5-5 and only is that 4-6? Okay, yeah, 4-6 against the spread. The Cowboys are 7-3, coming off their loss against the Kansas City Chiefs in Kansas City, and of course the Dallas Cowboys are 8-2 against the spread. So the way I see this from playing out is as follows, and you can hear a deeper analysis on All About the Star that dropped today. I had a Dennis Ackerman of the Believe Network who hosts the Raiders podcast, so I got a little bit more information about the Raiders. I do watch the Raiders more than I watch other teams. It's weird to me. Like, I don't hate the Raiders. I actually pull for the Raiders to do well because my best friend is a Raiders fan. Your good friend, Gooch, is a Raiders fan. So it's like we have Raider ties, so we do wish them well. Except for when they play the Dallas Cowboys. Cowboys are coming back. You know, we don't know. As of right now, 11:40 in the morning on a Wednesday, we still don't know about CeeDee Lamb. He's going to go through a couple of protocol tests today. That will determine a lot as far as the spread is concerned, how much the Cowboys can score points, right? The spread is 7.5. I've seen it down to 7. I think it opened at 7, but now it's moved to 7.5. Somehow, some way. You know why? Because big Tyron Smith is back and playing left tackle for the Dallas Cowboys. That is a big, big thing when you have the defensive line like the Raiders have. Last year, according to Ackerman, they had 21 sacks as a team in 2020. They have 24 right now with 7 games to play. They're getting to the quarterback. Max Crosby, Ngakoue, one of those two. He's getting to the quarterback as well. That scares me. Regardless of who's starting on the offensive line, their defensive line is good. Their run defense, not so good. Their pass defense, pretty good. So if the Cowboys run out there with Gallup, Cedric Wilson, Noah Brown, I don't know how I feel about that. I don't know how I feel about a Dak Prescott-driven game, right? This has to be a Zeke and Pollard show. With all that said, the last time the Cowboys threw up a stinker, it was against Denver. They came back and beat the Falcons 43-3. The Raiders are not the Falcons. They're a little better, but the Cowboys still get it done. 27-17, Cowboys win this game on Thanksgiving Day. What say you? I'll throw it to Kyle in case you want to make a pick, and or if you don't, that's fine, but at least break it down for me.
I'm just going to throw a couple Raider stats. Did you guys see what I tweeted out about Henry Ruggs, the Raiders before and after him? So the Raiders this season with Henry Ruggs, they're 5-2. They average 25.7 points per game, and they convert 40% of their third downs. That's with Henry Ruggs. Since he has departed from the team for obvious reasons,
why? He hasn't been there?
I didn't hear.
go on.
They are 0-3. They average just 14.3 points per game, and they're converting just 21% of their third downs. Now, It's more than just Henry Ruggs. They lost their head coach. There's other things going on. But that's a significant change. That stat's brought to you by AJ, the prop beaver, gave me that one. Also, like you said, the Raiders' pass defense is good, not just their pass rush, but their secondary plays well against the pass. Pro Football Focus has them rated high in pass coverage. These two stats here that I wrote down that I thought were significant. Raiders are 10th in the league in passing yards allowed, 4th in the league in yards per attempt allowed. So they don't give up the big play. There's not a lot of separation in the Raiders' secondary.
Dalton Schultz season. Go ahead.
I'm leaning Dallas. I actually didn't even decide on this one yet. Another one on YouTube. Okay. But I'm leaning Dallas as well at the moment.
Gooch?
To me, the 7.5 is too much. I think that there's a really good chance that even though there's a lot of good reports on CD, that it's very unlikely that he's going to play because the concussion situation is what it is in the NFL. I understand he's got to clear protocols. I just don't know that 3 days is enough to do that in the league now.
Well, there are different grades of concussions. So just so you
understood,
know.
Understood. All that aside,
okay.
Until I see CD Lamb get cleared, I'm going to go on the notion that he's not going to play because fine. It's a Thursday game. Look, it's tomorrow. Is he cleared yet?
No.
So, yeah, it's still – and if he does come back, I think that – that might alter the point spread a little bit, so I'm even more inclined to keep with the Raiders in this one. I don't know that CD coming back will really change the point spread much. I think it's going to be all about where the money goes, and you'll probably see it go up to 8 points. But I saw the Packers get Rodgers back, and then the point spread go down. You know, when they announced Rodgers was going to play. So it doesn't always matter when it comes to who they announced as playing. And for the reasons that you guys mentioned, where – the Raiders are really good against pass, and Dallas's clear path to victory in this one is to run the ball. So I just feel like that'll keep the score a little bit lower. And
okay.
Cover in the 7.5. If it was 6.5, I would probably go with Dallas, but that 7.5, it's a Thanksgiving game on national TV. The Raiders are reeling, and I'm just going to go with the extra point or extra half a point here.
An alarming stat I found out about this game, or I found out about the Raiders, last week against the Bengals, their longest offensive drive was 3 minutes long. They are not getting past midfield. They are punting the ball away every single time. They are reeling right now. And that, obviously, as a Cowboys fan who has been broken by this team has let me down time and time again, right? That's the part that scares me. The Raiders are getting crushed every week in the stat game, and they're just not playing well. And, you know, you got Derek Carr with his love affair for Zay Jones and all this other stuff, right? This is the stage that these guys perform. I predict one thing and one thing only to happen in the first drive for the Raiders. If they get the ball, expect this to happen. Ready? 2nd and 6, right?
Deshaun Jackson,
60 deep post, TD. 65-yard touchdown.
Yeah, I agree.
Deshaun Jackson.
I was going to 1,000%.
I'm going to punch something around me. Clearly not any of my family members.
When he brought up the Henry Ruggs situation, it just brought me back to the Kansas City game where Deshaun Jackson catches the ball where I felt like he could have scored a touchdown on
it. And then he
decided to run backwards
and then he
fumble the ball. I don't know what he was thinking there, but
if there's a prop for I know the prop beaver's probably all over this, AJ. If there is a prop for any time scorer, Deshaun Jackson, I just feel like he is, I don't care how old he is. He could be 40 and it wouldn't matter to me. He always scores against the Cowboys. He's burned us with the Eagles, with the Redskins, everybody. It just doesn't matter at this point. Deshaun Jackson gets in the end zone, but the Cowboys ultimately win the game. So that's where I'm going with that.
One thing I wanted to add to what you said about the money. Actually, check this out. So when the line moved, it looked like it moved yesterday afternoon, up to 7.5. The money started coming back towards the Raiders. As of this morning, the money was almost even, and a lot of books are starting to drop it back down to 7. So it looks like at 7.5, the public might be on Las Vegas.
All right.
Just wanted to add that.
We shall see, but we usually fade the public.
In other words,
AJ?
If you do like Vegas and you see it at 7.5, I would probably jump on it now because if it does go in any direction, 8 isn't really the end of the world. But if it goes down to 6.5, then it makes it a lot less attractive.
Is there any truth to what the guys were talking about on Twitter with me and you were in that conversation on that thread where like we were trying to figure out why that line jumped 2 points last week? And it was like somebody said, like, oh, but this number isn't a number that's usually like a play. Is that a thing?
That's huge. Yeah, because, I mean, 8 and 9, as far as frequency of margin of victory in the NFL goes, yeah, they're not very common. So you'll see when it's a high point spread, like say it's like -20.5, you'll see the line drop from 20.5 down to 18.5. Like
that. Yeah,
you were seeing that.
There was a couple weeks, a few weeks back where like Arizona was given 18, Buffalo was given 16. And if you didn't get it at 16, morning of, by game time, it was 20.
Yeah, because those numbers just jumped so high.
That's crazy.
The big number, it's I think as of this year, it's just over 15% of NFL games in the last 25 years or some odd finished with a 3-point margin of victory. So a movement from 3 to 3.5, huge. From 3 to 2.5, huge. You're talking about 15% swing. But when you're talking 8 or 9, you're talking about like a 3% swing. You know what I mean? Where it's
like, I was just like, I was panicking. I was like, what? Coach get fired? Like what just happened here? Like, it just jumped 2 points, and people are like, yo, calm down, player. There's only like, couple, you don't know what you're talking about.
A couple things that are making the line move, and that's like a quarterback. A quarterback.
Right, right.
Being and I'm like, out late, Jesus you'll see Christ. The line adjust, but.
Anyway, Cowboys win this game. And if they don't, if the Cowboys do not win this game, do not expect me on the show on Friday. But yeah, because that just, it'll be too much for me to handle being 7-4 or 7-3. No, 7-4 with the Eagles surging right now. There is a night game, which I think Kyle alluded to the fact that maybe the Saints are the new night team on Thanksgiving.
I think so, right?
It feels like it. It feels like they're always there. And just so happens that there will be eyes on this game in Cowboys Nation because the following Thursday is the Thursday night football game, the Cowboys and the Saints. So both teams are going to be coming off a 7 days rest. That'll be interesting. We'll talk about that next week. But the Saints obviously are not the Saints anymore. Okay, they have Trevor Siemian right now. Alvin Kamara, because it's a short week, I don't think he goes again. I think he's out again. I don't know if there's been an official ruling yet. I'm sure he's been questionable the entire week. But again, these Thanksgiving games, the Thursday games in general, that sucks for guys that are questionable because, man, 9 times out of 10, they don't suit up. So that right now has the Bills as a -5 point favorite on the road in the dome. When is the last time you felt like you saw that? You know, a team favored by that much in New Orleans where it's almost sometimes impossible to play. Whoa. On Thanksgiving night, that place is going to be rocking. I don't care who's quarterback.
Probably pre-Drew Brees era, or it was at least in a game where Drew Brees was hurt in, but Trevor Siemian just isn't getting it done, and Kamara is, in fact, out. And I actually,
oh, he's out? He's officially out?
I actually believe
out?
That Melvin, okay. And Mark Ingram might also be
y'all should have interrupted me as
in
I go into
one.
My spiel here.
Ingram might also not play.
Ingram out?
Yeah, Ingram is most likely Jesus not going to play as well. So what does that leave us with? Tony Jones Jr.
And Dwayne Johnson.
Dwayne Johnson? The Rock?
Not The Rock.
I actually was high on Tony Jones Jr. coming into this season in fantasy.
My dad's got him reason. Stashed.
Well, he's just rotting on his bench.
He has been, but hey, look, maybe now.
It might pay off this week because, but Buffalo's run defense has been fairly okay as a whole
against
this year.
Who?
But really?
Oh, here we go.
I guess maybe I'm
no,
wrong.
No, my whole point on the Bills is they
exactly.
haven't played anybody.
They haven't been playing anybody, but it has been decent, all things considered. Now, the Bills, though, this is one of the hard games for me to handicap because I just don't believe in the Bills. I've been saying it for the
frauds.
The Bills haven't looked good for the last 6 weeks. Even in games where they, since their loss to Tennessee on Monday night, the Bills just haven't been the Bills. They had the get-right game against the Jets, but is that a get-right game against
everybody
the
has
Jets?
A get-right game
everybody
against the
does.
Jets and the Jaguars, for that matter. Scoop!
So I'm just not a big believer in the Bills. I think that there's a lot going into this game where people are just buying in because it's the Bills and the Saints are at without their quarterback, without Kamara. But a home game on national TV, that's a hard place to play, specifically in primetime games. I just don't believe in the Bills, and I'm not laying 5 points on the road with a team that I don't believe in.
That was interesting because I wrote down my pick, right? I did write down my pick. But this national TV thing on a Thanksgiving night got me leaning another way, and I'm going to change it. I'm going to go with the Saints, not because you convinced me, because I truly think that the spread right now is basically the Bills were to win by a touchdown. I don't necessarily believe in the Bills right now. I think there are, you know, there's glaring holes. They still don't have a running game at all. Josh Allen is probably, more than likely, their leading rusher. I don't know if that's fact.
I don't think he's their leading rusher.
But it's got to be close.
Once the quarterback signs that big deal, they don't want him running the ball no more.
Speaking of big deals, Taysom Hill gets this massive deal, right? I mean, like, that could be a thing.
That's not actually as massive a deal as people look at
it. Well, I know you can finagle it.
There's some guaranteed money in there, but really, he's going to get the low end of that deal because he's not going to play much quarterback. So the fact that they gave him that deal is actually a less likelihood that you're going to see Taysom Hill under center often because that's literally what stipulates how much he gets paid. If he plays tight end and H-back more often.
Are you saying there's like percentage clauses in his contract?
It's a hybrid contract. If you read wow. this contract, first of all, I think this is the second strange contract that Taysom Hill has signed with the Saints.
I thought he already extended
himself.
He had
like a monster deal, but it was also weird where you look at it. It was a way for the Saints to manipulate the salary cap.
Which they do every year.
Which they do every year.
Every year.
The Rams do it well. Salary cap is fake in the NFL.
It's a
myth. And it's proven by the Saints and the Rams.
If you go to overthecap.com, these teams are like literally right before free agency starts. There's like the Saints, the Rams, a couple other teams. They're in the red. I'm like, okay, cool. So they can't sign anybody.
It's not a myth because it does hinder you in free agency when you are at the cap. But there's things you could do, and you have to have players on your team that are on board with it to manipulate things and make it where you could still sign guys. Otherwise, how would the fucking Rams have all these players right now?
Very true. Very true. Singletary has 70 yards, according to producer Scoop over here. 70 more yards than Josh Allen for the year. That is insane to me. Insane to me. So for that reason, we're both riding the Saints. Sauce, you got anything on this one?
Just that this line movement is crazy. So from Tuesday at 9 a.m., we are at 4.5. By Tuesday afternoon, it's 5. Last night, 5.5. This morning at 3 a.m., 6. As of this morning at 9 a.m., it's up to 6.5.
Wow, so we got it here.
So what the fuck? I did this morning, too.
I'm telling you, it's moving fast. Maybe it's because of the Saints running back situation. I'm not seeing any crazy money on either side. In fact, as of 9 a.m., we're looking at 50-50 dead even.
Wow. All right.
So I'm guessing it's because no Ingram and Kamara, maybe. Regardless, the books are making it clear they do not want people getting the Bills at anything five. Below 7. It's looking like I think it's going to finish at 7. But it sucks when you have to make a pick before you know what even like.
Exactly. This is an issue that we've had because when we make our picks on Friday, we're looking at it. And then the next day we come in and I'm like, well, the Saints didn't cover. And I'm like, well, they did here. So yeah. We get the win. But, you know, it happens to me all the time.
Yeah. All of our picks based off of me and Gooch's picks this year have been made on Friday morning. You know what I mean? So if anything moves in the next two days, it's either to our advantage where we're like, oh, okay, cool.
There's been 10 times, maybe 5 to 10 times, I would say guaranteed 5 times where I made a pick on the show and then bet against my pick and won the bet.
Right. Well, it happened to be.
That's called believing Monday. In yourself, ladies and gentlemen.
It happened on Monday with the Bucks. Your little stats that you spit at me on the live show.
I couldn't believe that Jimmy, because he's delusional, but I couldn't believe you were actually on the Giants on that one. I really couldn't.
I just hate Tom Brady.
I know you hate Tom Brady, but like that game wasn't close ever. You know what I mean? Like it was never. I never had a feeling in that game where I was like, yeah, oh, Dave, the Giants got a shot.
2020. And honestly, there was a point in that game where I was like, the Giants have a shot to cover because it was 7-7 deep into the second quarter.
Tommy takes a little bit to get rolling, and then once he's rolling, he's rolling.
Or man. it was 10. Was it 10-7 Giants at one point?
I'm telling you, for me, it was never a thing.
7-14, I think.
It is what it is.
I thought it was 7-3 to start the game because you know,
Monday was so far ago.
It was 7-3.
I had my lunch yesterday.
It was definitely tied up at 10 in the second quarter.
Did I eat lunch yesterday?
Yeah, and then they scored to go 17-10 because I hit my first half over. I remember. Yep.
All right. Well, that is your NFL slate. We got some college picks that the Sauce gave out.
Hold on, one more. Ooh. It's just quick. This is a sharp pick tonight, but I'm taking the Timberwolves fading the Miami Heat. Heat are on a back-to-back. Bam out of Bayou. P.J. Tucker, Duncan Robinson were all game-time decisions last night. They all played. On a back-to-back, if you have guys that are a little banged up, they'll probably play again, limited minutes. Minnesota Timberwolves in the last 10 days, number one analytically on defense, especially under the basket.
And Anthony Edwards is balling.
Yeah. Yeah, this team's hot, and they're getting the Heat on a back-to-back, who are a little banged up. So I like Minnesota, and I think they might even be getting a point. I don't have it in front of me, but it's about a pick 'em.
So ladies and gentlemen, that is called a bonus pick from the Sauce himself. Kyle, my guy, thank you so much for coming on today. We really appreciate you. We appreciate everybody that's following Kyle, watching the show right now. Introduce yourself to Chop Sports. Do me a favor. Hey, while you're here, hit subscribe. And then you made everybody's day, right? You made our Thanksgiving worthwhile. We literally whore ourselves out, or at least he whores himself out, for us to get more followers. You know what I mean? Like, we're small peanuts, and the Sauce Network is just, you know, it's going to, you know, we talk about them coming in, right? Before you know it, they're going to own us. Like, it's just going to be like a complete overhaul.
That's the business plan anyway.
No, we do want to get bought. Yeah, right? We want to get bought. So Dave Portnoy, if you're watching, chopsportsmedia.com, look us up. We're pretty good at what we do. So for Sturch and Gooch, of course, and for Kyle, the Sauce Kerms is here, and for the Pickbish, Dina, be sure to follow Pickbish as well. She's the UFC extraordinaire. There's been plenty of times where I just wait and wait and wait for those picks to drop, and once they do, I get on my little book and I say, okay, I'm going to go, and I'm not fading the Pickbish. I just don't do it. And sometimes I ride.
I follow her too.
Yeah, sometimes I ride high, and sometimes I lose money, and I don't even want to see her or talk to her or anything like that. So go follow the Pickbish. So, and of course, Scoop Espo in the house as well for the Cross Court Cast. So, guys, thank you so much for watching. Subscribe right now. Also, KyleKerms.com for all those exclusive picks. Join up with. Yeah, and YouTube. Oh, YouTube is just beyond words. I can't even describe to you how much. And I know what you're saying. This isn't the first time you've seen him. You once saw the Kyle Sauce, right? You saw him here on our grand first Sunday football where we thought we were going to be here every Sunday. Remember that?
Bro, honestly, hopefully you guys didn't see it.
Yeah, seriously. It was just literally me sitting next to AJ.
That was one of those situations where I just sat here and from about 20 minutes
in. You were in peril.
From about 20 minutes in, first of all, the Packers got starched by the Saints, so I sat here silently, pissed off, and was just thinking to myself, like, there's no way I'm fucking doing this next week. There's no way I'm fucking doing this next week.
It was so much work, and I did win a lot of bets that day.
Good, yeah. Good for you guys. And, of course, happy, happy, happy Thanksgiving to everybody out there, from Chop Sports to you guys at home. Hopefully I don't pull anything or tear anything tomorrow in my football game, and I'll be back on Friday, hopefully with the Cowboys win, too. So thank you guys for watching. We'll see you guys on Friday for a Football Friday.